It's 2 o'clock, and this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 28th, 2015. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Animal Shelter, Cat Room Springs to Life. After a less than perfect beginning, the Decatur Macon County Animal Control and Care Center's cats are free to roam. Several months after completion, the new cat room at the center has finally opened its doors to the area's feline friends in need of adoption. The 356 square feet room, built onto the south side of the facility, can hold up to 15 cats, who are free to climb, roam, and socialize with their kitty kind. The room has been a big initiative for the Decatur and Macon County Shelter Foundation, which has spent years fundraising the project. It cost $200,000 and was completely covered by private donations. Shirley Stanley, president of the foundation, said it is a relief to get to this point. "It's been a long time coming, and we're just excited to see it finally come to be," she said. It is slightly larger than the other cat room at the facility, which holds 15 cats as well. It includes 2 floor-to-ceiling glass walls, a cat habitat wall, and sitting space for visitors to interact with the cats. Aside from getting cats out of the cages, Stanley said the rooms better allow the cats to socialize and become emotionally well-developed, as they are not locked in isolated cages for most of the day. This, in turn, makes the cats more approachable for people and are potentially more readily adoptable. The opening of the room has been cathartic for officials after an initial delay. A ribbon cutting for the room was June 25th, with city and local officials celebrating its opening along with other nearby business. Despite the ribbon cutting, no cats were in the room because adhesive material on the wall made for a sticky situation. Although it was not toxic, staffers said the adhesive would attract too much cat hair and could leave some sticky residue if people were to lean on it. The hope was for cats to be moved into the room within a week or two, but it took more than a month before the adhesive situation was resolved. Stanley said there was no real rush at the time, as the cats that would have been in the room were already at the center in cages. "It's just a matter of being patient and letting this situation work itself out," she said. A grand opening is set for noon to 4 p.m. Saturday, with complimentary refreshments to be served. In addition, there will be a special pricing for adoption of all shelter pets of $25 through the end of August with an approved application. The excitement for the room is infectious among the members of the foundation. "This provides a much better presentation for the cats we have," said Randy Doty, foundation board member. "It's a real positive for the center and for the community." Ramona Borders, a longtime supporter of the foundation, is a lifelong animal lover and could barely contain her excitement for the unveiling of the cat room. "If there was a tree here, I'd swing from it," she said. "I love to see this place Farm Progress Show making biggest impression yet." Preparations were being made Wednesday for what is expected to be the largest Farm Progress Show in the event's 62-year history. The show, scheduled for Tuesday through Thursday, September 1st through 3rd, at Progress City, USA, near Richland Community College, will be held in Decatur for the 6th time. "It continues to grow in stature," said John Tort, market leader for Penton, which owns and operates the Farm Progress Show. "Every single year it's new," Tort said during a preview of the show for members of the media. "We're proud of that. The eyes of the agriculture world will be turned to Decatur next week. Visitors from nearly every state and about 50 countries are expected to attend the Farm Progress Show," Tort said. "Unlike the past 2 years, highly anticipated field demonstrations are expected to be ready," said Matt Youngman, the show's manager. "The growing season didn't cooperate in 2013 for corn to be ready but to harvest by showtime, and wet weather wiped out the demos last year in Boone, Iowa," Jungman said. The field demos showcasing the latest technology are part of what sets the Farm Progress Show apart, he said. We are going to be up and going, Jungman said. After 2 years of no demos, we're very excited to have nearly perfect corn. The corn hybrid being used this year is the same one that didn't make it 2 years ago, said Jungman, which shows what a difference weather can make for growing crops. Yields for some of the corn that has already been harvested are about 200 bushels per acre, which Jungman said is excellent for this part of central Illinois. The fields are in fantastic shape this year, Jungman said. He's hoping field demonstrations are just one of the many attractions for visitors who are planning to attend next week's show, which has become one of the largest trade shows in the country. Average attendance for the event is about 160,000 visitors, Jungman said. The Farm Progress Show, along with its counterpart, Husker Harvest Days in Nebraska, rank atop the Trade Show News Network 250 trade show list, which ranks events based on square footage. The Farm Progress Show has more than 2.5 million square feet of exhibit space. Jungman expects the Farm Progress Show's number to increase this year, with an expansion that is on track to be completed in time for the start of the event at 8 a.m. Tuesday. He said Progress City has increased in size to 90 acres of fenced exhibit space, up from 80 acres. It's the biggest exhibit field footprint we've had for the event, Jungman said. The addition became necessary to accommodate all the exhibitors requesting additional space or to be part of the event for the first time, Jungman said. More than 600 exhibitors are planning to be there, he said. As part of the addition, Jungman said a second varied industries tent will be used. He said it will contain many of the unmanned aerial vehicle, or UAV, exhibitors. For the first time during a Farm Progress Show, unmanned aerial vehicle demonstrations will be held each day, said Stu Ellis, organizer of the UAV demos. Ellis said 11 companies will have 10 minutes 3 times a day to fly their vehicles. Ellis said the demonstrations build on a similar event held last year at Progress City, as more uses are being found for UAV technology, which extends beyond agriculture, Ellis said. You'd be surprised how many uses there are. Companies will be using data collected from the fields surrounding Progress City as part of the demonstrations, Ellis said. While the show draws visitors from around the world, residents from the Decatur area are being invited to attend with activities of interest throughout the 3 days. Country music performer Craig Morgan is the featured act for a concert Wednesday, September 2nd. Morgan is scheduled to take the stage at 7:30 p.m. Gates to the concert will open at 4 p.m. with the Budweiser Backyard Party tent featuring games, refreshments, and Hinkle's hot dogs, said Lisa Gregory, Richland's chief of staff. Latham native and Millikan University graduate Eric Burgett will be the opening act during a Farm Progress Show concert for the second time. Burgett is scheduled to start at 6 p.m., Gregory said. Tickets for the concert cost $25 and are available at etix.com, richland.edu, or farmprogressshow.com. Gregory said $1 from every concert ticket sold will be donated to Folds of Honor, which provides scholarship to veterans and their families. In addition to the concert, Gregory said a Decatur Day promotion is slated for Thursday to encourage Decatur area residents to attend the show with discounted admission, which can be obtained with a coupon in this week's edition of the Herald and Review or on www.nowdecatur.com. She said visitors are usually impressed by the sheer size of the farming equipment. It's always the newest, latest, and greatest in agribusiness, Gregory said. Everything related to agribusiness is on site. Traffic is expected to be congested next week along Interstate 72 and in the area surrounding the show site, particularly in the morning. The Illinois State Police, Macon County Sheriff's Office, and Decatur Police Department will be directing traffic, and motorists in the area should follow directions of the officers. Richland will not hold classes Tuesday and Wednesday. Classes will be back in session Thursday, with drivers headed to Richland asked to use Rees Bridge Road. If you go, it's the Farm Progress Show at 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday, September 1st, and Wednesday, September 2nd, and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday, September 3rd, at Progress City, USA, near Richland Community College. Tickets are $15 for adults and $8 for ages 13 to 17. The price is reduced to $8 for admission Thursday during Decatur Day, with a coupon available in weekend editions of the Herald and Review and on www.nowdecatur.com. That's nowdecatur.com. Decatur Area Hiring on Better Road. Construction was one of the sectors providing a boost in July to the Decatur area employment figures. The area's unemployment rate dropped to 7.2% in July from 8.8% a year ago, according to Illinois Department of Employment Security Statistics, released Thursday. The last time the July rate was equal or lower was in 2008, when it also hit 7.2%. Yet, the Decatur area's unemployment figure remained above the statewide average of 5.9% as the total number of non-farm jobs declined by 400, said Ron Payne, a labor market analyst with the department. "It's going in the right direction," Payne said. "It's still a lot higher than we'd like to see it. There are good things in the works, so that's encouraging." The construction sector added 100 jobs, which Payne said is a sign of some action taking place throughout the area. "Typically, most of the trades are good-paying jobs," Payne said. "That has an effect on many of the other sectors." Other sectors adding jobs were professional and business services, along with educational and health services. The manufacturing sector remained flat over the year, Payne said. "Global demand for products hasn't picked up yet," he said. "It doesn't seem to be turning around," Payne said. "The numbers have been holding steady for a while. "A turnaround in manufacturing can be one of the leading factors in the employment rate picking up," Payne said. "Open positions continue to go unfilled as workers need to be matched with the proper training," he said. "It's always a challenge to get trained for the positions that are open. More workers are needed than help wanted," advertising generally indicates, because Payne said that some industries, such as construction, do not post advertised job openings. Area employers advertised for 7,700 positions in July throughout the Decatur and Springfield areas, he said. An estimated 3,700 people were unemployed in the Decatur labor force in July, Payne said. A boost from Convey Health Solutions opened an office in Decatur with plans to hire more than 300 employees is expected to be reflected in the coming months. The company announced its plans earlier this month. Child Advocacy Center battles funding shortfall. Once a child has been abused, there's nothing anyone can do to make it unhappen. The Macon County Child Advocacy Center has been doing the next best thing since 1999, however, interviewing victims to minimize further trauma while helping prosecutors build successful cases against the perpetrators. The August 7th sentencing of Anthony L. Mabon to 52 years in prison for repeatedly raping a 13-year-old girl is but a recent example of the work the center does. The hallmark is conducting interviews in a certain way and in a specially designed room so the child has to tell their story only once. This kid, who's had something terrible happen to them, does not have to continue to relive it, said Kate Kurtz, the assistant Macon County State's attorney in charge of sex crimes. The Advocacy Center, which serves about 300 children annually from Macon and Piatt counties, faces a $37,852 funding shortfall for the coming year. That's about $13,350 from a reduction in money from the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Center Executive Director Jean Moore said the 10% cut comes when child advocacy centers across the state are seeing a 3% increase in child abuse victims. Historically, we have seen mostly sexual abuse, but now we are seeing more physical abuse, Moore said. After the initial interview, the advocacy center provides an advocate to support the child through any court proceedings. It's not a child-friendly system, Kurt said. The greatest feeling for me is when a child gets off the stand at a trial feeling empowered. The center is planning some fundraisers, including collaboration with Melissa Wolf Thomas on Clever Container Sales. A portion of purchases made at a center open house from 1 to 3 p.m. Friday, September 4th at 1990 North Water Street, plus that of September online sales at www.mycleverbiz.com/Melissa Thomas/ will benefit the center. Kurtz is also the new chairwoman of Friends of the Macon County Child Advocacy Center and hopes to build a more active group. Email her at friendsofmaconcac@gmail.com for more. That's friendsofmaconcac, all one word, lowercase, @gmail.com. If you go, it's fundraising night for the Macon County Child Advocacy Center. When? 4 to 8 p.m. Monday, August 31st. Where? Panera Bread, 225 East Ash Avenue, Decatur. Special flyer. Print one from the center's Facebook page and take it along so the center gets a portion of your bill. For more, that's visit www.mccac.org. That's mccac.org or call 217-422-6294. That's 422-6294. Or 422-6294, extension 7, I guess. Okay, 422-6294. Spark ignites insulation fire at Decatur's Caterpillar factory. A plume of smoke could be seen miles away from the facility as the Decatur Fire Department and other emergency services came to the scene around 2 p.m. in response to a report that the facility was on fire. Employees at the scene said the fire occurred at a warehouse that is in the process of being torn down and no equipment or vehicles were stored there. Two employees who spoke to the Herald and Review said the incident occurred when some insulation caught fire during the teardown. The story will be updated. Mount Zion Grease Fest, goodbye to summer nights. Mount Zion officials are bringing a little greased lightning to residents' summer nights. As students prepare to head back to school, the village and the Mount Zion Convention Center are prepared to give them one last taste of summer with the inaugural Grease Fest 2015 Back to School Bash that begins at 6 p.m. Saturday at Fletcher Park. We chatted in the office and the idea came about. What about if we created a Grease Festival to start off the school year? Said Kelly McCourt Edwards, Village Event Coordinator. We thought about ways to make it more interactive and we wanted to spin it off the movie night and the carnival scene at the end. It's good-natured fun and represents that time of coming back to school. While Fletcher Park has hosted movies throughout the summer, Grease Fest will be more than just a showing of the iconic 1978 musical starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. The bash, part of the title is not an understatement, as planned events include face painting games, a costume contest, and performances from the Mount Zion Recreation Summer Show Camp, Palm and Palm Campers, Mount Zion Drumline, and Mount Zion Cheerleaders. Concessions of the 1950s style will be provided by Swing Stations and Mount Zion Second Sound System. While fresh Chicago-style grilled food items will be served by university dogs. One perk for the organization, such as the cheerleaders, is that they will be able to raise money for their organization through the activities they have set up. It will be nice to have some funds to start off the year, Edwards said. Officials encourage those to come to the event in full 50s mode in the same style of the film. A costume contest will take place, and vintage vehicles from that era will be shown. Edwards said those with vintage vehicles are welcome to bring them, and they can be parked in a designated area. Though Grease debuted nearly 40 years ago, it still plays regularly on television, and traces of it can be found in popular modern musicals like High School Musical. If this works well, I can see Grease Fest continuing into the festival, she said. Continuing into the future, she said. If you go, it's Grease Fest 2015, when Saturday, August 29th, the event begins at 6 p.m., movie begins around 8:45 p.m., where Fletcher Park. Tickets are $2 for adults and $1 for children. Online, you can check mtzconventioncenter.com. That's all one word, mtzconventioncenter.com. Warrensburg Latham to revisit National Honor Society. Several months after its initial vote, the Warrensburg Latham School District will revisit its affiliation with the National Honor Society. After several parents of students visited the district school board meeting Wednesday night to address the board's decision this spring to move away from the national branch and create its own Warrensburg Latham Honor Society, board officials said that they would put an item on its September agenda to discuss the matter. Superintendent Kristen Kendrick Winkle said that the initial decision came after membership to the National Honor Society and its junior equivalent went from $75 per year a year each to $385 a year. And with the funds for the society coming out of the school's building fund, which is already strapped for cash, high school principal Ken Hatcher said they needed to look at programs that benefited students that did not raise questions of stability. It's not the idea to not highlight our students who have excelled, but it's a question of stability and whether the money will be there every year, Hatcher said. While parents offered to raise money to cover the costs of being part of the society, Hatcher said he was worried if the money would consistently be available, especially if the National Honor Society again increased its membership fee by fivefold in just one school year. The purpose of National Honor Society is to recognize students who have demonstrated excellence in the areas of scholarship, leadership, service, and character. Students in the group are also eligible for scholarships, though Kendrick Winkle said no students from the district or neighboring ones have received a scholarship from the organization in recent memory. Part of that reason is some of the stipulations the National Honor Society requires for students to receive a scholarship, such as a teacher rating scale factor that can hurt students who may be quieter or less active in the classroom. Even those with the highest GPA in the district are not guaranteed a scholarship, Kendrick Winkle said. To replace its membership in the society, officials have created a Warrensburg Latham Honor Society, which would be based solely on the student's GPA and the amount of volunteer work done in the community. Now here's a piece from the Decatur Tribune online. People speak in letters to the editor. Dear editor, attended clinic hosted by baseball great Rogers Hornsby. Dear editor, I was born and raised in Northern Illinois, and in the summer of 1949, I attended a clinic put on by Rogers Hornsby at American Legion Baseball Field in Dixon, Illinois. Everyone worked their way up to bat by playing all seven positions other than pitching and catching. Rogers did all the pitching to a catcher he had with him. Most of the attendees swung from their heels, trying to knock it out of the park. I was never a power hitter, but could hit quite solid line drives, which I did that afternoon, and Rogers commented, "Here's a line drive hitter." The dumbest thing I did that day was to have Rogers autograph my Stan Musial floating heel baseball glove, and I, of course, kept using it until after it was wore out, and by then his signature had long since disappeared. I have thought about that mistake many times, for by now his autograph would be valuable. Later in life, I was smarter when I got Casey Stengel's autograph while staying at the Chase Hotel in St. Louis during the 1968 World Series. Hornsby was definitely one of the best right-handed hitters of all times. We really enjoy the Tribune, but I cannot figure out why they take about 2 weeks after the audition date to get to Carmel, Indiana, which is about 13 miles north of downtown Indianapolis. Keep up the good work. Signed, Jim Greenfield, Carmel, Indiana. New mayor is worthy of task ahead. Dear editor, the father and mother of the new Decatur mayor lived in Sullivan in the early 50s, and J.C. Moore was a classmate of my father in Sullivan well before moving to Mattoon. Even though my younger brother pushed Julie Zoller's sisters into a ditch when they were all children, I think Decatur has inherited a new mayor worthy of the task at hand. Integrity, fairness, and empathy are worthy components of leadership. Signed, Eric L. Kenny Sullivan. Great reminder of a good neighborhood. Thank you, Paul, for the scrapbook article on the East End of Decatur, July 29, 2015. It was a great reminder of a good neighborhood to grow up in. I have many good memories of childhood there. In the article, Tom Hanks mentioned Fisher's Snack Shop and Green's Food Market. Several months ago, I sent a picture and notes on the Kelly family and their relationship to VE Day and the east side of Decatur. The Kelly Grocery, owned by C.W. Kelly and included those notes, became Green's Food Market when C.W. Kelly sold the store in 46 or 47. Fisher's Snack Shop was Fisher's Grocery, and Kelly and Fisher grocery stores were next to each other. Never knew why. Families became related when a Kelly daughter and a Fisher son remarried. Fisher's son married. Their son, Jerry Fisher, is my cousin. He now lives in Florida. He, his wife, and I drove through the area recently. We decided we would keep our memories of a different time instead of the sad reality we saw there. Thanks again for your historical reminders of Decatur. Signed, Barbara Alderson, granddaughter of C.W. Kelly, San Diego, California. The above letters were posted on August 26th, 2015. Now we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 28th, 2015. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.